This morning, we're going to read one verse of Scripture this morning. And as I mentioned before, we're not in the Gospel of John, but I'd like to read one verse out of Genesis chapter 15. Again, the message is really understanding Israel today. And in Genesis chapter 15 and verse that we're looking at this morning, 18, it tells us, "To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates." Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray for your blessing and your guidance this morning as just really attempting to bring your word in a different way than what we're used to. But I trust, God, that you've been a part of the planning and preparation and just seeking you. I ask that you would open up our hearts, that you would give each one of us a clear biblical knowledge and understanding and insight regarding the day and time in which we live, regarding the nation Israel, regarding what you're wanting to do in our own lives personally. And Father, we do pray for those that couldn't make it this morning. We thank you for those that might be joining us online or listening at another time. We'd ask that you would heal those that are suffering, those that have been in the hospital, those recovering, that they'd experience your great healing mercy, love, and grace. For those that are just downhearted and discouraged, lift them up. Bring the light of your love to them this morning. We do pray for our nation. We ask, God, that you would visit our president and the leaders of our nation with wisdom and understanding, with humbleness of heart. We pray for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the parties involved and decisions they're making as well. God, just be glorified. Magnify your power and greatness at such an hour. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, as I mentioned today, this morning is different than what we normally do. It's a topical message, but on my heart is really a clear desire to really understand what the Bible has to say about the nation Israel. And to begin with, In the book of Galatians chapter 3 in verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you that were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Therefore neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus." And listen, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise." We must understand our spiritual heritage. Just as Abraham believed God and his faith was accounted as righteousness, so are all together today believers in God. We've been justified apart from the law. In this way, Abraham is the father of all who believe. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. So I pray that that truth would enrich us this morning and understand when we're talking about the nation Israel, we're talking about, you know, we follow God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and where our historical biblical, spiritual lines go. I have a few quotations from Dietrich Bonhoeffer at this time, and these were important to me. I don't know if you have read anything about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you haven't, you should. He was a pastor in World War II and very confrontive towards Hitler and in Germany and what was going on. Please make yourself familiar with how God used him. He died a martyr's death shortly before the war ended. And very few churches stood for the truth of God's word during that time. And we're living at a time as we've traveled through COVID-19, and we saw our nation reveal to us some things that we weren't familiar with. We began to see the darkness in the leadership, the lying, and having a certain agenda and to drive it that way. We saw them shut down the churches, and we saw them even try to govern churches in how you worship and relate and care for people and pray for people and visit people and care for the sick and have communion service and conduct memorial services. We saw them invading that area. It was wrong. And we stood against it because we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And unequivocally, we stand for the nation Israel in our fellowship. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children. So when we're doing what we're doing today, when we're going through the Word of God, when we're building up the body of Christ, of course, we care about each one of you personally, where you're at, what you're dealing with, what you're contending with. Of course we do that. We care about the lost and the wayward, that they also would come to Christ. We have a worldview, a biblical worldview. But we care about our dear children and the way they are being abused right now throughout the world through an educational, academic setting and other things as well that they are subjected to. And I know you as parents and grandparents, your hearts ache regarding that. So part of what we're doing is the holy handoff. When my time is finished, when the work is done, a measure is how children, how our young people were impacted with God, with the Word of God, with the love for God, the desire in their heart to serve God. He also said we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. And that was a hard lesson that I had to learn early on, and I'm still learning that lesson. I'm still in that school of learning to be surrendered to God. If Jesus said, not my will, thy will be done to his Father, who are we to say anything less than that? And then finally, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. And so if you've been around this ministry, you understand that we want to be where God is at. We want to grow in his grace and the knowledge and the truth of his word. There's a few other things that I want to have up here. It's a bit of where we're going this morning. As I mentioned, our ministry unequivocally stands with Israel and the Jewish people. The biggest murders of Jews since the Holocaust just took place 3 weeks ago. And Israel has every right to exist in its country. When we see protesters in the United States holding signs saying Free Palestine, it should say Free Palestine from Hamas, who's 100% responsible for their suffering. Again, I'm bringing forth truth today and to gather an understanding. Anti-Semitism is satanic. It's a spiritual war, even though it's being fought physically. Today we'll look and see who is Hamas and why do they want to destroy Israel. We'll try to understand the history of Israel and the history of the Palestine and why there is so much uprising support supporting Palestine and so much hatred for Israel, especially amongst young people in the college campus. I want to look at that today. And how does this relate to Bible prophecy in the end times? Is this Ezekiel 38 and 39. So that's where we're at. And it's important to keep our biblical eye on Israel. The Bible speaks historically and prophetically about Israel. And think about it with me, and you're aware of this. God provided a Savior to the world who was born in Israel, who lived in Israel, who was crucified in Israel, who was died in Israel, who was buried in Israel, who rose from the dead in Israel, who ascended into heaven from Israel, is returning again to establish his kingdom in Israel. So let's keep our eye on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and let's keep our eye on Israel, Jerusalem, and the Temple Mount. Amen. Wherever God is at, we want to be at. God is for Israel. He established it. Redemption comes through his people. He returned to heaven, and we stand where God stands. And just to review again what has taken place, so I think we're good on the overheads for right now. Saturday, October 7th, 2023, 1,500 to perhaps 2,500 Hamas Islamic terrorists penetrated the security fences into Israel on motorcycles, jeeps, and paragliders. It was a barbaric massacre against men, women, children, babies, the elderly. There were shootings, stabbings, beatings, burnings. They were brutally, savagely murdered. Over 1,400 people by raiding homes, kibbutzes, communities, even a music festival. They attacked people on streets and in cars. Over 3,400 were wounded, and approximately 229 were taken hostage, including some Americans. And the Israeli government said, unless we put an end to Hamas, it will never stop. And we look at this as being absolutely nothing short of pure evil. Some have said that this was, in some ways, Israel's 9/11, but they helped us understand, since we have a nation of 330 million people, Israel is around 10 million people, so proportionately, if an act of terror happened in the United States, it would represent more like close to 50,000 people dying in one day. And we need to awaken to that reality. In 1930 and 40, some Germans were opposed to Hitler and Nazism. Today, there are some sensible Palestinians opposed to Hamas and Islamic terrorism who believe in Israel's right to exist, and we stand with those Palestinians also who understand this. So who is Hamas, and what is Hamas's plans? So Hamas is a terrorist organization made up of Sunni Muslims. There's two groups of Muslims, Sunni and Shiite. Iran would be Shiite Muslims, Sunni Muslims. Hamas translates from an Arabic phrase called Islamic Resistant Movement. Hamas in Arabic means zeal or strength. Hebrews has a word for Hamas, it means violence. Hamas does not care about anyone or anything that stands in the way of their one mission to kill Jews and to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Hamas doesn't want peace. Hamas wants to kill, and its own charter, it says that the Jews must be annihilated when Islam is taking over. That's their goal. They don't want land. They don't want peace. They want Islamic superiority over the world and annihilation of the Jewish people. And that's what they want. Hamas' charter or covenant, which was adopted in 1988, and we have up that original covenant. These are just parts of that covenant. And this is when I'm saying the things I'm saying strongly and boldly about Hamas, I'm taking it from their own charter. I'm repeating what they've said. They want to destroy Israel and establish an Islamic theocracy in Palestine. Unrestrained jihad is necessary to achieve this, to negotiate solutions of Jewish and Palestinians' claims to the land are unacceptable. The covenant proclaims that Israel will exist until Islam obliterates it, and jihad against the Jews is required until Judgment Day. Compromise over the land is forbidden. The documents promote a holy war as divinely ordained. It rejects political solution and calls for instilling these views in children. So they teach children at a young age to hate the Jewish people. They teach them at a young age through training camps how to kill the Jewish people. I am not bringing some sort of conspiracy or false information. I'm repeating what Hamas has boldly declared. Hamas will destroy anyone or anything that stands in the way of its mission. That includes Jews, Palestinians, infidels. Hamas uses the Palestinians as human shields. They set up rocket launchers at schools and in hospitals, apartment buildings, so that any retaliation produces photo ops for Hamas to portray to the world that Israel is targeting innocent civilians. My understanding is that one of their headquarters today, right now, Hamas's headquarters is in under a hospital in Gaza. They prevent Palestinian people from existing in Gaza City. Israel, from the very beginning, has warned the Gaza citizens that we're not after you. We're not after anyone who we're after anyone who shelters terrorists, who harbors terrorists, who supports terrorists, who's hiding terrorists. That's exactly what Israel's been doing. They're not bloodthirsty murderers. They just want to exist peacefully without the consent of constant threat of genocide. So Israel has called up around 400,000 reservists who have reported to duty, many traveling back to Israel from other countries. My understanding from listening to a number of different people from Israel, it's actually united the country that with Benjamin Netanyahu and the government and the parties, they've come together from what's been reported to me in an incredible way, an incredible heart set, almost like Nehemiah, determined, having one mind and one purpose. You know, there's the Masada. Masada is down by the Dead Sea. We were there on a tour in April. And Masada is the location that Herod had built in that first century. The Jews went there when the city was being destroyed. Jerusalem was being destroyed as a place to hide and to be there. And you can't, it's up on a mountain. And so there's no way that you can attack it. So the Roman soldiers created a road and built a road all the way up to Masada. And they used the Jewish people as their laborers to build the road. So as a Jewish person up on the mount, I'm not going to retaliate against my own people. I'd be killing my own people for my own survival. So what they did, and there was around 900 and some people that were on this Masada Mount. Before the Romans came, they all committed suicide. And because of that, there's a statement that they say today, and that statement is never again. We would never do that again. We will never take our own lives. We will combat the enemy never again. And that's well stated around the nation Israel, where we go, never again. Never again will we commit suicide. Never again will we not engage and those who are against us. And that statement, never again, is what's lighting it up for them. They come together, it's never again. They want to kill us, they want to destroy us. We're going to fight. And that's where it's at. They're taking the fight to Hamas, and in some ways, it's being communicated to the rest of the world. So Israel has warned Gaza from the beginning. They've dropped leaflets in their own language to let them know to leave town. But Hamas has kept, in terms of what I've discovered, about 170,000 citizens from leaving. We're going to have you stand with us here. Even at the music concert, which was attended mostly by Jews, but there needs to have an understanding. There are also Arab Israelis attending the concert. The population in Israel is Jews and Arab Israelis. These Arabs can be Muslims or Christians, and they have peacefully coexisted with the Jews in Israel. Hamas didn't care. They killed Jews, Arabs, Palestinians, anyone who stood in the way of their mission. Hamas is an evil, demonic ideology from hell itself. Hitler and the Germans hid and veiled their evil crimes against humanity. Hamas and the Islamic terrorists, they celebrate these crimes. They make videos of these crimes. They use the media to promote their wickedness. They call family members after committing these crimes to boast to family members of what they did and how they did this in killing the Jews, wanting to receive parental approval, to be like a hero. This is wicked, evil, and satanic. In 1987, Hamas was founded in Gaza as an offshoot of the Egyptian-based Muslim Brotherhood. In 1988, they published its charter, which I referred to. In 1991, they established their military wing. In 1993, Hamas began suicide bombings in Israel. In 1997, Hamas was designated as a terrorist organization by the USA and dozens of other countries. In 2000, they created the deadly uprising against Israelis. In 2005, Israel evacuated all their troops and settlers from Gaza and built a security fence around Gaza for national security. In 2006, Hamas won a surprise victory in the Palestinian parliamentary election, and they seized full control of Gaza. They came into power through the parliamentary elections, and instead of taking the finances that they had accumulated to build infrastructure in Gaza, to help assist in humanitarian aid, instead of building factories, they took these finances and they built hundreds of tunnels, and under them they amassed ammunition to target against Israel. They took all the resources and dedicated it to the destruction of Israel rather than helping to improve the conditions of the Palestinian people that they are supposed to represent. And Israel has helped them in many ways, unbeknownst to media, prior to this war, with food, electricity, and other things as well. I stated earlier, protesters in the United States, they hold up signs saying, "Free Palestine." And I say it should be free Palestine from Hamas. 100% responsible for their suffering. But you're not going to see that in the media, but you're going to hear it here. So why is Hamas so intent on destroying Israel and the Jewish people? Well, there's political reasons and ideology, but I want to bring it to a biblical answer. And the biblical answer, I believe, comes from Genesis. Isaac was the son of the covenant. Abraham, in a moment of fleshly pleasure, slept with Hagar. Ishmael was born. The descendants of Ishmael are the Arab people. The descendants of Isaac are the Jewish people. There's been animosity between the children of Isaac and the children of Ishmael since the book of Genesis. Simply stated, the conflict is over jealousy of the promise of God to Isaac. But all the hatred and animosity against the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, from Hamas and others like them, is really from hell itself. And why? We go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, and it says, "His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon," which is Satan, "stood before the woman," which is Israel, "who was ready to give birth and devour her child," which is Jesus, "as soon as it was born." Satan has done everything possible to hinder and destroy the redemptive plan of God. And that was revealed through a particular nation called Israel. We needed, humanity needed, a redemptive plan. If it wasn't for God's plan, we would not be here today. We would be hopeless. We would be living in such darkness. God called one individual. His name was Abraham. He wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile. There were no Jews. He was living in what today would be the Iraq area. God called him. God says, come to a land that I will give to you and your descendants, that through the seed of this man, a nation would be born. The Jewish people would come into existence. And through this race, one Jewish Savior would come. And Satan hates the redemptive plan. Israel is where it all took place with Jesus. Satan wants the world to be against Israel because it represents the covenant plan of God. Satan has been inspiring people, nations, and groups of people from the beginning of time to hate the Jewish people because they represent the ultimate redemptive plan of God. Amen. So back in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Could it be that the blessing of our nation is a result of our love and support of the nation of Israel since it became a nation? I would say yes to that. Ephesians 6:12 tells us we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this dark age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. But we hear this narrative today. Why Hamas has attacked Israel? Why many Palestinians support what Hamas has done? You've seen it. Why is this? Because they believe that Israel and the Jewish people are occupying the land, and this land belongs to the Palestinian people. That's the narrative. I'm going to communicate that's a lie. Protesters are pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel. They call Israel occupiers. They call them colonials. They believe that the conflict is based on Israel's illegitimate claim to the land. What is the history of the land of Israel and of the Palestinians? Do you know the history? Jews are not occupiers. Jews are the indigenous people of the land. They are the native people to that land. And I will bring forth why I believe that to be true. They were living in this land 2,100 years before anyone was called or referred to as a Palestinian. They were living in this land 2,600 years before Islam was ever a religion. It's their land. They're the indigenous people. There is archaeological evidence for this as well, dating to the 13th century B.C., also the 9th century B.C. In 586 B.C., when the Babylonians came in and seized Israel, all the way till 1948, when Israel was reasserted its rights to their homeland, about 2,500 years, the Jews were dispersed from their land. They were killed around the world. They were oppressed around the world. For the Jews that stayed in their homeland, they would be dominated by other world empires, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Byzantines, the Arab Islamic Empire, Catholic Crusaders, the Ottoman Empire, the British Empire. The Jews were there before any of those kingdoms. So where did the Palestinians get their name? They got their name in AD 135 through the Roman Empire, Hadrian. In order to stop the Jewish revolt and disperse the Jews from Jerusalem, he renamed the region Palestinia in Latin. That was the Latin term for the Philistines. Stay with me. The Philistines hated the Jews. They were enemies to the Jews. So Hadrian in 135 wanted to dishonor the Jews. So he called that geographical area Palestine. In 1948, when the Jews took back their land, they changed that to the original name, to the name that God had given to them. God gave the title deed of this land to the Jewish people 4,000 years ago. In the original look of the land, and maybe we have that one map up of what this would look like, that red border would be what God gave to them when he says, your descendants to the promise, I've given you this land from the river Egypt to the great river Euphrates. That's about 300,000 square miles. Last night I looked online and their property right now is 8,500 square miles. So you see little Israel in the brown there. That is about the size, people say, of New Jersey. The Jewish people never occupied this amount of land. King David had the largest amount at one point. Well, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Ottomans, the Turks, the Ottoman and Turk occupied this land during World War I. Here's an interesting piece of history. Great Britain helped to defeat the forces by fighting in World War I. Great Britain defeated the Ottoman Turks. Great Britain took back this territory. It was a part of a British mandate. In 1917, Britain enforced a doctrine called the Balfour Declaration. And you want to put that up there next. The Balfour Declaration, you can see this document, 1917. I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of the national home for its Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. It being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political statures enjoyed by the Jews in any other country. 1917. So when we see people making declarations, well, what happened? In 1922, a royal Arab family objected to Israel having that much property. Winston Churchill in 1922, his Secretary of State over the colony of Great Britain, he drew a line down the Jordan River and basically reneged on the promise of the Balfour Declaration. The east side is called Jordan and the west side Palestine until 1948. The Jews are not colonists. They're not occupying this. It is their land. They are the indigenous people. They're living in their homeland, not because of what Great Britain said, but because of what God deeded to them. Why so many American youth and young adults support the Palestinians? And this is an answer that I'll give, and it's probably a little bit philosophical on my part, because I don't necessarily know the heart and the motive of people, but I do ponder some of this. So young people, youth, we were all that at one point. We still have some with us and hoping more, but they charge after humanitarian causes. They like that, which I think it's good to be compassionate and considerate of the down and out. The less fortunate. But unfortunately, they're quick to jump on causes. I think it's important to know why you are a part of the cause and to get the facts. There's something else that I'm thinking about at the same time. So why such a strong movement towards these various causes? I think it's a heart issue. Stay with me. Every one of us deals with guilt in our life because we're sinners and we deal with guilt. And how do I handle the guilt? Many times we handle guilt by doing something that's humanitarian, doing something for somebody else. And so I'm dealing with this guilt. And I don't care what it is, I just need to do something because I'm overwhelmed by this guilt in my life. How do I get rid of the guilt? And we're all the same. We've done things. We've tried to work our way out of our sin, and it can't happen. So my exhortation to young people and to everyone is the only way out of this trap is through salvation in Jesus Christ. Because when you do the humanitarian deed, you naturally feel good about yourself. So I'm burdened down with the sin and burden of guilt. I want to do something to alleviate that. So I get on board of causes. I have no idea what the causes are, but it seems good to me. Seems like there's a crowd and momentum and going on. I can't explain it. I don't know, have any history of it. I jump on it. And we've seen that take place. We've seen the social justice things, and through COVID-19 and before that, all these things that rise up and come along, and people jump on board. You have no idea. Have you even looked at the history of the movement that you're a part of? Have you read what they're a part of? Have you read their belief statement? Because they're going to take it off of the website pretty quick because it's ugly and evil and wicked. And so when you cannot intellectually defend it, you begin to believe a false narrative. You don't know the history of Israel. You can have compassion for the Palestinian people, but the Jews are not occupiers. And I just will say this. We're not going to forget what happened on October 7th, 2023. And if you think about this, and they call Israel the bad guys and the bullies, if you think about it, if you just pull back, there's 22 Arab states, there's 52 Muslim states, and there's one tiny, teeny state of Israel, Jewish state, one. Who's beating up who? And we don't defend the nation Israel. They've done things that are not acceptable or right, but we're standing with them. What's the motive? Why do we do this? We need to go to Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer also said, it's only because he became like us that we become like him. And through all of this, we want to draw near to Jesus. We want to be close to him. The body of Christ needs to wake up to really what's going on. And we look at the event and it's relegated there and we got splashed on the news and people are like, hey, I've had enough of the wartime news. I want to see something else. And that's a dangerous thing at this moment. Ezekiel 38 verses 1 through 6. How does this fit into Bible prophecy and end times? It says in Ezekiel 38, 1 through 6, it says, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, set your face against Gog, in the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, Tubal, and the prophecies against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O God, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around. I'll put hooks into your jaw and lead you out with all your army, your horses, your horsemen, all splendidly clothed, and a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya are with them, and all of them with shields and helmets. Gomer and its troops and Togarmah, and from a far north and its troops, and many people are with you, and you say, I have no idea what that's all about. And understand. So Ezekiel 38 and 39 speak about the last days ministry on earth. What's going to take place? Ezekiel speaks about specifically a nation to the north, which is Russia. They speak about Persia, which is Iran. It speaks about other Muslim nations around that. It speaks about a Russian and Iranian confederation. They're going to come together. And Ezekiel prophesied this thousands of years ago. So what these nations have in common, except for Russia, is they have one thing in common, Islam. Because of that, I asked and contacted our guest speaker from a year ago, Charlie Campbell, very gifted communicator. and ask him to come speak with us in December. He'll have two messages on Saturday, I believe the 9th of December. The first one is about Islam, just trying to understand that. I have a job and an obligation to you, our fellowship, to bring the best we can to help out with that and to really have convicting evidence for why we believe the Bible. Those are the things that are under attack today. Hamas is fully funded and aided and assisted. It's assisted by Iran. Hamas said themselves on October 7th that they were directed by Iran. Hezbollah, to the north of Israel, said the same thing. Iran said the same thing. And why can't our U.S. federal government say Iran is behind the Hamas attacks? They believed for so long a Russia conspiracy without any evidence. The government's holding back on some things. We're thankful for the government's response to be supportive to Israel. We're thankful for the ships in the Mediterranean. So we're thankful for that. But we're cautious as we move forward and see if this is not Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's not. Ezekiel 38 and 39 says Russia comes from the north. This is an attack from the south right now. But Russia is very much aware of what's going on. Iran. You see the players. You see, in a sense, a shadow of what's there. But this is not Ezekiel 38 and 39. One other reason is that Israel in 38 and 39 of Ezekiel have no other nation that is with them. And at this point, we're with them. And we're thankful that we are with them. We're supportive. And some other nations are as well, but we're supportive to that. So it's not Ezekiel 38 and 39. Can it become that? Well, if Russia gets involved with Hezbollah and Iran, and if for some reason our nation makes decisions to pull out of support of Israel, then we need to take another look at what's going on right there. There's a couple of other slides. You want to put one up right here. This is happening right now. So in our military has been attacked in that region 20 times already. Our own military, our supplies, our men and women, they've been attacked 20 times already. And we've not really responded. A couple of warehouses were blown up. That's it. The next slide. And this was the first 14 days of October of this year. This is the border that we know of. How many people came across the border? 30 Iranians, 60 Syrians, 35 Pakistanians, 100 plus Russians, 285 Afghanistans, over 2,000 Chinese. That was in 14 days. My friends, to think, you can take that down, to think that there are not terror cells in the United States would not be thinking correctly. So when I bring this message, I say our brothers and sisters in Israel, the homeland, they're at war. And our spiritual heritage goes all the way back to Abraham. And goes back to the settling of what God gave for that. It goes all the way back there. We stand with them. And it's a dangerous time to not consider what's going on in my own heart, what's going on in my own life right now. We need to wake up, brothers and sisters. Because I know that when a big event like COVID happened and people would say, well, when are we going to get back? And we were clear, there's no getting back. It revealed to us how dark and how wicked things were. And people and governments that you trusted broke those trust relationships. And so here we are now. And the world is moving ahead. And I want us just to be aware of what's going on, to stay strong in His Word. We should have a deepening compassion for the lost and the wayward. It's, in a sense, time's up. I was with this, with Pam. We try to go out for lunch or breakfast once a week and always have great conversations in this server. And most of them now have tattoos all over, and I take an interest in it. Not that I have some hidden tattoo on my body or something, but it's just a source of a conversation. I say, that's really interesting artwork, you know. I mean, what were you thinking about? I don't say it like that. What were you thinking? That's what their mom said, but I said, well, that's really great. And, you know, because everything has a story. And, like, what was the first one? And what were you thinking about? And I'm sincerely interested, because it's fascinating to find out. And then it gives you a chance when they bring the food back for a few more conversations. And then I just said, you know, she lived outside of this area here in Whatcom County, lived outside, grew outside. I knew the area that she grew up in, and I just kind of said, did you ever go to church there? And she says, when I was in a youth, I did, and it was a Calvary Chapel church. And I says, I know your pastor. I'm going to text him right now, because you said that that was a significant time in your life, but you've moved away from that significance. You're not sure what you believe right now, but I'm going to text him right now, before I got the bill, and his shoulder, it says, he's praying for you again, and we're praying for you, because we really care about people, care about our own family members, our fellowship, our community, our nation, and the world. And in the midst of everything that's going on, we're praying, God, save people. God, redeem people. Even the most wicked of the wicked, just convict them and break them and save them. Because what else is there if there isn't salvation in the Lord? So hopefully this morning, the scripture, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And what it took to bring that Son, to find a man named Abraham, a Gentile, and create a Jewish nation and put them in a particular geographical location and have our Messiah come, seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our Messiah came from there. Our Messiah lived there, served there, crucified for our sins there. He redeemed us there. He left there. He's in heaven, and he's returning back there with you and with me. And so these are very exciting times. The enemy is against any step of faith that you take. The opposition is the enemy. It's not your spouse, your pastor, or anybody else. It's the enemy against you. The enemy does not want you to fellowship with God, represent God, experience his faithfulness in your life. He wants to disrupt your life. Don't let him. Stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let's stand for prayer. Worship team will lead us in one final song. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. And thank you. I would just say thank you for helping us through this message. Certainly different. But I just thank you, Lord, that you're in control. That none of this is outside of your control. I thank you that everything is moving right on time. I thank you for each person here that you've given us a hunger and thirst for your word, for biblical truth, and for biblical understanding, and to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And we move forward today realizing that your people occupied a land that you gave them. They're not occupiers or colonists. They are there because you purpose them there. Be with them and strengthen them. Do mighty things in their midst. Do mighty things through the Middle East. And then in our own nation, how we need your help today. And I do pray for anyone perhaps this morning here or listening or watching at another time. If you are uncertain about this Savior, this Redeemer, this Messiah, I'll make it very clear. There's only two eternal destinations, heaven and hell. And your eternal destination is predicated on the decision you make on earth. I'm pleading with you, as Paul said, be reconciled to God. Ask Jesus for forgiveness of your sins. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection, he conquered death. He paid your price. You can receive this free gift of eternal life. Ask for his forgiveness. Receive his free gift in Jesus' name.